Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back to the first 2007 edition of Why Fish Radio. Have to apologize for taking another week off, but you know, holidays kind of got in the way, and there was some fishing and some illnesses and all kinds of fine stuff. As always, I'm joined here by my co-host and friend, Brad Dawkin. Brad, I know I don't even have to ask how you've been because I know what the answer is going to be. So happy New Year to my friend.
Happy New Year to you as well. And yes, I have. I've been quite well. You touched on it a little bit. We've been doing some fishing. We just returned from a great trip up to the Lockport Selkirk area, joined up with our good friends Canuck and Stu Makaya from Cats on the Red. Saw him out on the ice on Sunday afternoon. And weather bug bit us a little bit, but it only added to the sense of adventure because they got a foot of snow up there on Saturday night. So they went from basically a famine to a feast practically overnight if you're a snow lover. And it really, really changed things. I mean, we were out on the river Saturday afternoon complaining about not having enough snow to bank the houses. Well, by Sunday morning, that was no longer a problem. But, you know, I guess the highlight for me, obviously, was catching my two personal best walleyes through the ice, a 29-incher on Saturday afternoon, followed up with a 28-incher on Sunday. And you know, it's a stretch of river known for big fish, and at least for me, on those 2 days, it lived up to that reputation.
The second one doesn't count because the biggest one was caught first.
Well, there is that, but it would be interesting to see on a scale. We never did weigh them because we, you know, obviously want to get them back into the water as quickly as possible. But it'd be interesting to see what the difference was in weight between those two fish. I'm guessing there probably wasn't much.
Yeah, pound maybe.
If.
Hard to say. I didn't get to hold them, so. But I did get to do the photography, and you will see that on the blog page because I'm sure we'll put it up there.
And you did a very fine job at that. So, you know, and I was thinking here too, you know, just to get sidetracked a little bit, we're rapidly spiraling toward show 100 here, aren't we? I mean, we're at about number 96 right now?
96.
So let the countdown begin on that front. We probably would have done it about now, but, you know, took a little bit of time off during the month of November. But, you know, definitely ended 2006 in style. And looking back on it, pretty darn good year for fishing.
Well, it seems to be the broken record from 2005. Overall, 2006 was a mighty good year to me. I will say in quantities of fish, it was not 2005. That was still much better in quantity. Quality in the catfish front probably wasn't there in the numbers for myself as well, but it was still good. I got my three best walleyes within a matter of a month of each other, so, you know, you put that into consideration, I have nothing to complain about. Another excellent, excellent year.
And, you know, just goes to show, again, the opportunities that we have so close by living up here in the Northland. We're really lucky that way. And, you know, I must say, winter up here is off to a great start, and I'm looking forward to just kind of keeping this show rolling right now.
Well, you know, where do we start? We got the snow, which we need desperately for water levels and for a lot of different things. We even got to drive the sleds a little yesterday. No fishing involved, but that doesn't matter. We got to get out and run.
Absolutely. You got Pinky out on the ice for the first time. Your new Polaris, which is a very unusual, unique color for a snowmobile. It's kind of a pinkish, you know, call it lavender, call it fuchsia, call it what you want. It's going to be probably called the Barbie Dream Machine, I think, is its official nickname.
And a dream sled, but dream, close enough.
I kind of like Dream Machine, though. It's got that sort of a sleek, notorious ring about it. But any way you look at it, you got the thing off the trailer and got to blow the carbon out of it.
Enough making fun of the color. It was fine. We, you know, I think we must have averaged between 45 and 50 the whole time we were out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we put 45 miles on it, and, you know, I'll never sit here and make fun of the color of that sled because it might be used to pull me off the lake, off the ice someday. So, you know, there but for the grace go I. And like I say, color aside, it would come in right handy if you're sitting broken down out on a lake. So I'll give you a little grief about it, but it's all in fun.
Well, if anybody gives anybody grief about that thing, I think I'm the ringleader.
Yeah, absolutely. But now we just got to get it out on a nice fishing trip.
Well, there's a big Frabel house in the back of my truck just waiting to be hooked up to it and drug somewhere. Well, now we just got to find the where.
Well, and that's another thing we should probably touch on here a little bit, too. Our trip up to Canada was basically the maiden voyage of the big three-person fish trap, Frabel glide tracks. And it's a big sled, but I tell you what, it performed admirably, even Sunday morning under heavy snow conditions. There was all of a sudden a foot of snow to contend with on the river, and it glided along quite beautifully.
If there was one complaint about this, and it's a very minor complaint, is the loading and unloading from the truck. Once the thing is out of the truck, I couldn't believe, even in that heavy snow, how easily it pulled by hand even with the glide track system. I was quite impressed with that, and I know pulling it with the snowmobile, it just slid right over that deep snow. Very nice. I'm very impressed with the design of that sled. And it's set up easy, very similar to the other Frabel lines. And two guys in there, I mean, it was like a palace in there size-wise.
Absolutely, fishing in comfort. And, you know, I have no complaints about the house. It's certainly been good to me. It's, you know, it's treated me to a couple big fish so far. You know, whether it's the house or luck or whatever you want to call it, I've got good memories of that first trip in that house. There's no question.
Yep, very nice invention they came out with on that sled design. I think this is one that's going to last a long time for them, is that GT. I can actually see some other companies maybe doing a little redesign on those sleds as well.
Well, and another thing we should maybe talk about a little bit is there's a fair bit of discussion up in, at least in Manitoba right now, about Frabel houses. Apparently there's a sporting goods outlet, and again, I'm getting all this information secondhand, but apparently there's a sporting goods outlet that has pulled the houses off the market. And I don't know if it's all houses or just Frabels, but at any rate, somebody had lit a portable on fire, and it wasn't a Frabel, as I understand it.
Well, again, you know, second, third hand, you never know what you're going to find on the internet. But talking to some of these Canadians who are in the know, they're actually quite concerned about this. Rumor has it some guy burned a Frabel down. Now, the picture I saw on the internet that they say was the house, there is no way that that was a Frabel house. I'm sorry, it was blue. They don't make a blue house. So I'm already questioning whether it was a Frabel house that was burned. And irrelevant, the way it was melted, it was not burned, it was melted. It looks pretty obvious to me that somebody stuck a sunflower heater facing the wrong direction. Well, duh. What do you think's going to happen? Use your head.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the houses have a lot going for them, but they're not idiot-proof. And a situation like that, it doesn't matter what kind of house you have. You know, you're gonna run into problems if you put a heater right up against it. And, I mean, if you use that kind of logic, well, you know, maybe you should ban cars.
Well, moving along in the story, apparently this gentleman contacted the Canadian Standards Association, which is, don't even know what to call that here in the States. But apparently their job is checking safety and setting standards on various products and various household things. Whatever, doesn't matter for this discussion. But apparently they went to this retail outlet where it was purchased, got one for testing purposes, and suggested that they be pulled off the shelves until further testing. And that's where we're at now. Apparently the retailers are taking them off the shelves waiting for this report. But, you know, Stu said it's pretty well. Well, you can sell tents, you can sell anything, and if you put a heater facing the wrong way, okay, ban the sale of houses, for that matter. You put a heater the wrong way on the woodwork, you're going to light the thing on fire. So it's just, it's futile as to what's going on up there, and, you know, hopefully it all straightens itself out. I can't see it not straightening itself out, but how dumb can you get?
No, that's true, and I know when I first heard the rumor of this, I thought, well, this can't possibly be true, but, you know, sometimes, you know, truth is stranger than fiction, and this is definitely an example of that, and, you know, like you say, hopefully common sense will prevail here, because, you know, to pull a house off the market because some idiot decided to turn the feeder the wrong way, it doesn't make sense. It makes absolutely no sense at all. And, you know, it would be a real blow for a real burgeoning ice fishing industry up there.
Well, I was just going to say that. You know, they're at the peak of really getting set up for ice fishing. I mean, these houses are already difficult for those folks to get just from a cost standpoint. And now to have something like this get in the way, it could set them back years if it doesn't get straightened out soon. And that's a shame because the ice fishing industry has really taken off up there. I mean, Canuck is a perfect example with his chateau he's got set up.
Oh, absolutely. And you notice it just among the general fishermen out on the ice there, too. You know, I guess the first time I ever ice fished on the Red River up there, I think, was probably winter of 2002, late 2001, early 2002. And, you know, just the difference between then and now is really quite striking. I mean, you know, you're seeing more portables. People are catching on to, you know, Vexlars and other types of flasher units, you know, some of the equipment that's out there. And, you know, to see that suffer a setback, it would be real unfortunate. And, you know, you hate to say it, but if you don't have a good portable house, all the other aspects of that system just aren't nearly as effective.
That's a line right out of Dave Genz's seminar right there, what you just said.
I guess maybe some of it's rubbed off over the years.
We'll keep you informed as we keep our eye on it. It's just intriguing to follow at this point as to what's going to happen with the house thing. But, you know, the Canadians are on the verge of a big break, and I think Mr. Canuck, as we like to call him, is going to be the ringleader of that one as people get out on the red and see the setup he's got, because it's a nice setup he's got rolling up there. It's the nicest thing on the Red River that I saw.
He's styling and profiling right now. He's looking pretty good out there.
So that being said, you know, we got a 2007 ahead of us, and I don't even want to make any plans at this point. We're just going to kind of take it as it comes, I think. I mean, nothing really set in stone except the annual Lockport trip in July, but we'll talk about that in about 6 months.
There's a lot of winter ahead of us yet, you know, again, I have a couple of winter trips that are, you know, kind of set in stone right now, but I think the best way to do it is just to kind of wait for news of a good bite, and that's kind of what happened with this trip to Selkirk. Our latest trip to Canada was we got a report, things were looking good, get up here, and, you know, anybody that's thinking about making a trip to Canada right now, I would highly recommend it, by the way.
3 weeks, folks. 3 weeks, they're saying, before this ends for the year.
Yep, it's all, you know, get while the getting's good right now, but, I mean, that was the situation. We had a report that things were improving after a slow start, and we shifted gears real fast, and we made the trip, and boy, am I glad we did.
Well, obviously, you're a little more glad than I am, but it was still fun. Always fun. Couple things else I want to touch on. Those of you folks who listen to the show, I want to thank you for spreading the word of that pike cleaning video. 2,993 plays in the month of December on how to clean a northern pike from last January.
That's an absolutely amazing number. It would be interesting to see where these folks are from, if it's mainly from up here in the ice belt or if it's from other parts of the country. But, you know, it's a great thing, and if we can, you know, certainly teach other folks out there how to clean those fish, it's a good thing, because they're a great resource, and, you know, it's a much maligned fish. It's had a bad reputation for years, and a lot of it has to do with those pesky Y bones. But you put them on the table, they're pretty good table fare as fish go, and the cleaning part is relatively simple. So, you know, glad we could help out there. I did the filming, you did the cleaning, and who knows, there might be a sequel in the works.
Well, might is a pretty loose term, because I have plans that there will be.
We just have to get out there and catch the fish right now.
That's right. So that's, you know, thanks to those for spreading the word. Keep it coming. A couple other things. I talked to Kent over at Trophy Cat Adventures just this morning, and he wanted us to tell you folks that we're going to be giving away another trip for this summer.
Oh, that's excellent news. I know that... you know, the first one especially was a huge success. I never did really hear what happened with the second winner, but, you know, it's a heck of a resource out there. He knows the river. He spends a lot of time on the water. He's got a pretty nice boat to boot. So, you know, anyone who wins that trip is going to have a lot of fun.
I think our second winner ran into some military duty that got in the way. I'm not 100% sure how that went down yet, but I believe that's what he said, is military duty got in the way of that one.
Well, hopefully there can be a postponement and can make up for it next summer. But either way, the fish will be out there waiting for him.
So we'll get the details posted on that probably next week or the week after on how you can enter. But until then, you can definitely start sending emails and telling us why you should go, because maybe we'll finagle something else in there for you. But that being said, anything else going on this fine week? I know you're still kind of on cloud nine for that big old walleye.
Well, and I will be for a good period of time. I mean, I had been in a little bit of a big walleye drought. I'd caught a 27-incher on the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods Labor Day weekend. Very nice fish, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'd gone through a period here a few years back where I was on a pretty good streak with big fish. And you know, you certainly can't count on it. Even on a body of water like the Red, it doesn't mean that you're going to go up there and catch a big walleye. But I tell you what, I just don't know of too many places within an easy drive where you have a better shot at one. And that's all you can ask for is a shot at one. And, you know, you want to talk about fish that got away, and we probably should touch on that a little bit. Canuck dropped a couple of big ones Saturday afternoon. I lost one that I think was probably heavier than either of the two I landed. But, you know, they're always bigger when they get away.
Oh, I saw Canuck's first one that got away, and, oh, boy, was it a nice one. And it's about 60% my fault that we lost it.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that happens. There's so many things that can go wrong when you have a big fish at the hole like that. You know, I do think it helped a little bit in my case on Sunday is that we had switched flightings on the auger and went with a 10-incher instead of an 8-incher. And I do think in this case that, you know, it made landing that walleye a little bit easier. The downside to that is you got to be careful where you step, as Canuck found out, and just went up to his knee again and luckily stayed dry. But I think there was a couple of words uttered there in Canadian.
And is that what that was? Canadian?
Yeah, it was the Canadian version. I still understood it, mind you, but you got to be careful with those 10-inch holes. It's definitely a little risky.
Well, that's why I'm typically scared of them, but I think you're right. I think it helped. You know, and like you said, you got a big shot. You got a shot at a big fish. You got two. I didn't even get to tangle with one, but that's how the cookie crumbles, and you can bet I'll be right back up there taking a shot again.
Well, and it's hard to know because, you know, there was a period on Sunday afternoon where, you know, things were getting pretty slow, and, you know, there was, you know, some little moves made. There was talk of making a big move. It was fairly late in the afternoon, so, you know, to me, to make a big move late in the afternoon is like a, you know, that's kind of a desperation thing, and I didn't see anything to be gained by doing that. So I opted to take the lazy route and stayed put where I'd been fishing all day and ended up being rewarded for it. It's a technique, you know. Dave Gens would probably hit me over the head if he heard me say that, but, you know, that idea of staying put, and I guess it depends on the water you're fishing too, but it served me pretty well. And again, it certainly did again on Sunday afternoon. And another interesting twist of fate was I tied on an old jig, an old pink and glow round lead head with a rusty hook on it. Kind of keeping with the retro theme, I've used some old jigs to catch some nice fish this winter, and this one definitely took the cake, though. And it was just one of those jigs that hit the bottom of my tackle box. I thought, well, you know, plain leadheads work, they work in the fall, they work in the summer. In the wintertime, seems like there's always a lot of emphasis on jigging spoons and, you know, various chubby darters and things like that. So I just went back to the basics, and it certainly seemed to work.
Yeah, guess what I didn't have?
Guess what you'll have in your box next time.
Yep.
So let this be a lesson to you, folks. Don't leave those plain old, you know, colored lead heads at home. You know, bring a few pink jigs along, green ones, whatever, what have you. Bring them along because you just never know. And like I say, I only happen to have one, and I'm probably going to have to display it behind glass now after this trip.
That makes sense. Well, folks, Happy New Year. Enjoy. We'll talk to you again next week. Brad, take it away.
All right. Until next time, that wraps up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.